This episode is brought to you by the Fuller Youth Institute online store. You can find books like Growing Young and curriculum like our Can I Ask That series. Our store is the exclusive place to find Faith in an Anxious World, which is a four-week curriculum that will empower you with language and tools to talk about anxiety with your students. Get $5 off on a purchase of $20 or more when you use the discount code FYIPodcast at fulleryouthinstitute.org/store. Hi everyone, welcome to the FYI on Youth Ministry. In this podcast, the FYI team explores groundbreaking research, fresh ideas, and diverse stories. Today we're talking about volunteers. Our hosts are Aaron Samuel and Kat Armas, and our guest is Chuck Hunt.
We just need to invite people to a conversation about what it looks like to continue your own discipleship in the midst of walking with students. What does that look like?
But first, let's hear what young people had to say when we asked them about today's topic, volunteers.
Why do you think that people volunteer?
Because they care about the church. I grew up in church and most of them did too. I've always seen them around. So it's kind of like it's pretty much a family, I'd say.
What makes an outstanding volunteer, specifically in the youth department, is that they're always fun and friendly and discuss relatable topics.
The church comes together as one. If there ever be a need, like for fundraisers, to help out with the kids, or for construction funds, each person provides what they can. They sell plates of food. I know each hermana is dedicated to providing something like the rice or the meat or the beans, or handing them out. Like my mom, I know she mostly helps sell it.
Hey everyone, my name is Kat Armas.
And my name is Aaron Samuel, and welcome to the FYI on Youth Ministry. I am a multicultural project assistant at FYI.
And I'm also a multicultural project assistant at FYI. Aaron and I work together on multiple projects, including the Living a Better Story project at FYI, which is a research project that focuses on identity, belonging, and purpose in the lives of teens. And what I love about it is that it's centered on narrative and just the stories of teens and how hearing about them can teach us more about who they are and how to minister to them.
Yeah, I too just love hearing about youth narratives from all of our diverse teens that we've interviewed and learned about. And I just particularly love being a multicultural project assistant with you. We are the only two on this project. Yeah, and we have just the best time together, and Kat is absolutely brilliant. So I'm just really excited to be on the podcast with her and to work alongside her.
Hey, you're brilliant too, Erin, so thank you.
Hey, girl. So what are we going to talk about today?
So this episode is all about volunteers. We know youth ministries can't run without them. Chuck Hunt is a veteran youth pastor with over 25 years of experience. He serves as the associate pastor to family ministry at Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena. And as a pastor and mediator, he has seen the power and difficulty of ministering to families and loves encouraging them to find identity and wholeness within the church community. I think wholeness is key, and that's something that we talk about today. So I'm really excited.
Yay.
Talk to you afterwards.
Yeah, see you guys soon.
So welcome, Chuck. We're so excited to chat with you today.
Thank you. Thank you. So appreciate it, Kat. Thanks.
Yeah. So before we begin, I'd love to hear a little bit about why or even how you got into youth ministry.
Yeah, that was a God doing. My undergraduate degree is in aviation, actually.
Oh, wow.
I was a pilot, and I decided along the way that was probably not going to work out. At least the military decided for me that wasn't going to work out, and then a bunch of different factors. And God really led in that time me back to the church. And as I stepped in for an interim youth pastor role for a friend of mine who was leaving his role, and I was only going to do that for 9 months, God shaped my heart over those moments, and now I've been doing it for over 25 years now. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, but at the same time, it was definitely not in the plan.
Right. One of those accidental things that just hooks you and keeps you.
Absolutely.
So what would you say in sort of that process? Like, was there anything that in specific that you would say maybe called you in the moment, or if you can think of anything like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the thought was, I had worked at a camp long time before that, for years, summer camp, you know, back and forth between college and home. And, you know, it was moments like that, that I was like, oh yeah, this is great ministry with kids and hanging out. But I think the shift for me was that, you know, at camp ministry, it was like a week on, week off, right? Like you have a week on with kids and then, you know, they're gone and you have another week and it was great. But having this long-term introduction to these long-term relationships with students was something that I was like, oh, this is great. And the kids that I engaged with that first year, some of them are still friends to this day, it's just amazing that that God would do something so quickly in those moments. So by the third month that I was there, it was super clear to me that God really had something for me there. And I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know how it was going to play out. But my heart had been completely shifted from, you know, wanting to continue to go fly. And I had planned to that fall actually pursue an extended degree in aviation and actually go fly for Lufthansa Airlines. And there was no way I could do that with a clear conscience. So it was really the relationships, not only with the kids, but with the staff and the parents that were really, really important to me.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. And yeah, so quickly, 3 months in and you're like, all right, we're doing this.
Yeah, we're
committed.
Yep.
Right. Oh, that's so great. Okay. So today we're going to focus our conversation around youth ministry volunteers. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about your experience. Have you ever been a youth ministry volunteer? And what is your experience recruiting and managing volunteers?
Right. So when I first started a ministry, I did camp ministry. And then when I was in college, one of those years in college, I volunteered with Young Life. But it was an introduction to how to be cared for as a volunteer that I don't think I've actually ever lost. In those 6 months that I was working with Young Life at that time, it was really, really formational in that regard. Beyond that, you know, my interim, you know, youth pastor job when I first started, that was the first time I had volunteers and, you know, that I needed to connect with and manage and empower. And they knew more than I did at that point in time. And, you know, I really leaned on them to understand what my position was going to be or what that position was going to be there. And as I've grown, I've learned a lot more about how to engage and empower volunteers. So, you know, and now teaching others how to do that as well. So that's been a shift over those years.
Yeah. So you said that you early on were sort of cared for as a volunteer. What was that? If you can elaborate on that, being cared for as a volunteer.
Yeah. In those moments, you know, it's funny. So I got into that Young Life position, not because I was seeking it out. As a matter of fact, I was actually just going to buy guitar strings at a guitar shop. And and literally, I was playing a little bit, and I was the only songs I knew were worship songs at the time. And I was playing this little guitar, and some guy, you know, came over to me. He goes, "Hey, that's a worship song." I was like, "Yeah." And he said, do you play it? Do you worship? Do you want to come to be a part of that?" And so so that's how I got into Young Life, was through
it's amazing.
A crazy story that was like, wait a second, this is not what I was planning on doing. So anyway, in that process, he and I would spend time together way outside of Young Life. And I remember spending more time, the guy's name was Brad, more time with him than actually with the kids. And I felt like, you know, I went to school on the East Coast. I'm from the West Coast. It was a great moment for him to actually just care for me as a college student who was away from home. And I think those were the moments where, you know, whether it was we were going out to eat or whether or not he was just being encouraging, just seeing what he could be praying for. I think those were moments where I felt like, oh, wow, there's people beyond the school, people beyond the folks that were supposed to care for me, that were actually caring for me. And that spoke highly of the church.
That's so good. And so I imagine that as you kind of stepped into that role of being someone to recruit and someone to manage volunteers, that you were able to take a lot of that with you into your ministry.
Yeah, the hope was, and I think one of the things that I've developed over the years is for every staff and every volunteer that works for me, I say this repeatedly, I design and desire to care for them personally more and first before that I care for anything that they do for me. So it's that sense of like, I want to care about who you are regardless of what's going on or how that is. Like, we just have those conversations. We need to have those opportunities to connect long before I'm going to require you to put chairs away or do any, like, it just doesn't matter. Like, I want to be able to have that conversation. So, you know, that statement has become a repetition in my world, is I care about you long before I care about the thing that you do for me. So, and that came over years and years of like, how do I do that? Right? Like, okay, so, so that's a statement, but how do you do that when you have to be that person's boss? How do you do that when you have to manage volunteers, when you have to let volunteers go, when you have to bring volunteers on who don't know their own gifts and are super new in their own faith? Like, what does that look like to care for individuals first before you care about what they do for us? You know, I think there are moments where we give people a job description and say, hey, can you do this? But without saying, hey, who are you in this? And I think we miss that.
Yeah, that's monumental for sure. And just having people, because when you're cared for, then you can go ahead and care for others. And so, yeah, I think that's so important. So thank you for that. So I wanted to ask, in our Sticky Faith work and series of resources, FYI talks about the 5-to-1 ratio based on an idea from Chap Clark. And that is that instead of thinking about one adult needed per 5 students, we flip that and aim for 5 adults supporting one young person. Can you tell us more about this 5-to-1 ratio? Why is it valuable? What might it look like?
Well, so how much time do you have? you know, when I say that, I was grateful and I was able to work with CHAP while some of that was happening. And the 5-to-1, we were talking about that. When I first came into ministry, 1-to-5, 1-to-7, you know, whatever those ratios were based on what the schools were doing to keep kids safe, right? Whether they're on retreat or they were in classrooms and space, we said, you know, this is what we're going to use to keep kids safe. But we also recognized that those were moments of support and they were just convenient for small groups, right? Like, that was a good number for small groups. Shifting that was to say, hey, instead of what we're doing right now in our particular ministry, how do we shift that to understand the broader reality of the church and its engagement in the life of a student? And because for youth ministries for years, it was, hey, the youth ministry begins when they come into our program and it ends when they leave our program, right? So whatever your youth ministry looks like, children's ministry looks like, it's got a beginning and it's got an end. And we kind of have to transition these kids out of our ministries.
Right.
But when we started thinking beyond that and realizing that that discipleship really is the lifelong journey, right? And we're inviting people into this lifelong relationship with Jesus, but not only with Jesus, with the church and with God's people, we really need to do that in a better way. We need to set that up. And so shifting that to the 5-to-1 ratio was a way to create what Chap calls the constellation or the safety net around students, around preteens, so that they have the ability to connect with other people that aren't just the one person who's responsible for their discipleship, right? They're able to look around at their church. They're able to look around at their community and know that they're cared for by multiple adults who are encouraging them, who are walking with them, who are in their lives because they want to be, not because they have to be. And I think that's a really huge piece to that.
Yeah. When I was actually, so I worked with Young Life for a little bit, and we had a group of students who had never been to church, had never gone to church. And before I was kind of brought on to disciple them, there was really like maybe one or two adults that in that space. And this was, we actually did Young Life out of school. Hmm. It was just that one connection to church, God, faith, right? This one person. So they, when they started bringing in more people, it took, you know, a good 3, 4, 5 of us to just speak into the life and the faith of these students.
Right.
And they were able to see how God works differently throughout each of us, through all of the volunteers, through all of the staff, and how God, you know, communicates differently, interacts with us differently. And in that way, they were really able to connect and just seeing that it doesn't look how, you know, one specific way,
right.
But there's a lot of ways that God can connect and that God could interact with these students.
Yeah.
And we really needed a lot of us, a network of us to do that. And so I really love that. That 5-to-1 ratio.
Yeah. It's a huge network too. And I remember when this is years ago now, I was working at a church and it was close to a mall, right? And the mall had had a security guards. And we would go and we would play, you know, mall tag and all these other things. One of the security guards that I found was a guy who loved Jesus and wasn't attached to our church, but I would talk to him, chat with him, and I would encourage him and empower him that when he saw our kids, like to say, like say something encouraging. And he was like, oh man, I didn't think about that in my job. And you know, over time, you know, kids would be going through that mall and be like, oh yeah, I saw Steve, their security guy. He just always like, God bless you. I was like, that was amazing. You know, so it was that type of constellation. And though he didn't dive much deeper into those kids' lives, it gave us an opportunity to say, man, the Lord is out there and he's encouraging you in small moments like that. So,
yes, exactly. That's so good. That's such a good story. Okay, so what role can a youth leader play in building that kind of support for their students?
Oh, man. You know, there's so many different ways that they can go about it. They can create the vision for students and for parents and for their congregations to believe in and think about what this looks like. So there's a bunch of years back, I was interviewing at a church whose their whole purpose was to disciple their adults for the purpose of caring and discipling kids. Like, it was amazing to me that they would do that. And it was a short-lived mission, and they wanted to pull that off. And I think that's the type of mentality that youth leaders, family ministry pastors need to have, is to be able to say, how do I look at our church, and how do I empower and carry the vision for caring for our kids to every single ministry? So that's a congregational reality, right? I think for parents, you know, in parent meetings or parent connections, whatever you do, how do you empower your parents to say, who are you intentionally inviting into the lives of your students and your kids that are going to speak into their lives the grace and mercy and justice and peace of Jesus and the care that they need in order to follow into that? I think you need to do that with students as well, asking the question, you know, who are your top three? Who are your 5 go-to folks that are not your parents, right? Not always, that are the ones that you can turn to and say, you know what, at any moment I could call them. At any moment I could reach out to them, and they would be the ones that would respond to me, and I can count on getting either advice, care, a ride, what they need in those moments that are going to be super helpful.
Yeah, that's so good. When you do need to recruit traditional volunteers, you know, to run programs or lead small groups or go to camp, what are you looking for? What kind of ask do you make of people?
Come. Like, just come.
Yeah.
I think, so early on in my ministry, I think we made all these, you know, like I said, here's the job description, here's what we need, here's what we want, you know, here's how much time it's going to take, et cetera, et cetera. And though that's helpful when we get down to the brass tacks of it all, I really think we just need to invite people to a conversation about what it looks like to continue your own discipleship in the midst of walking with students, right? Like, what is that? Mm. What does that look like? We had a volunteer recently, we made an ask, hey, if you are at all interested or God's even tugging on your heart to be involved in ministry, come talk to us. Let's see if we can't find a place. And we had a woman come who showed up, was there observing, and said, yeah, this isn't for me. I'm too introverted for this. I can't do that. So over a period of time, we didn't say, okay, great, thanks, bye. We said, okay, so let's talk about that. God's calling you into ministry. So what does that mean? So let's figure that out. So she decided that she wanted to be a part of our welcoming ministry, which seems really, really odd for like an introverted person. But what she found was that it was really easy for her to say hi to people on the patio as they passed,
right.
but not have to sit there and engage them and have these really long conversations, right? Like, she could be a welcoming presence without having to be a fully engaged presence and devoting, you know, her whole time to that. Yeah. That gave her the strength and the power to come back to the youth ministry and say, I know who I want to be with. Mm. I want to be with a person who is like me and wants to sit in the corner. And so she has this group of people that go and they literally sit in the corner and they chat for moments before our ministry starts. And that is, she has found her ministry. And so walking with people, trying to find their voice in ministry, their gifts in ministry, and placing them well within the ministries that we have, as opposed to just creating a job description and trying plugging, playing people. I think that has to be the way that we move forward, especially as we're going to engage the larger church.
Yeah, that's so good. That reminds me of, you know, when I was, and I mean, I still meet with my youth, but one of the main things that we talk about is that you don't have to go out of your way to disciple youth. You can invite them into your life. And so if you're going to, you know, I'm going to go shoe shopping on Saturday, do you want to come, you know, and then just kind of just invite into your everyday life. And that's how you do discipleship, you know. And if you're an introvert, people can be introverted with you. There's always going to be someone who is going to connect or understand with certain parts or aspects of who you are, and to just, yeah, you're always going to find someone who wants or needs that. So, yeah.
Right. One of the things that I've said in our ministry is your job is to live out your faith in front of and with students, period.
Right.
Amen. It's not a job to go do something for them. It's mm-hmm. just to live out your faith in front of and with them. That means everything from the great stuff that you're going through to the pains that you're walking through appropriately, right? That allows them to see what discipleship really looks like. At the center of the gospel is discipleship. And then at the center of discipleship is the gospel. You know, as it kind of compresses on itself, there's a target. We learn about the gospel, and we learn about discipleship as a means to continuing to understand how we express the gospel. And that's how right. that's how we talk about it, is that we've got to do it in front of students in a way that is life-giving, and honest and authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. So good. So now I kind of want to ask, mm-hmm. On the other side of that, what mistakes do you see youth leaders, maybe especially newer leaders, making with volunteers?
I think there's a lot of, there's so many, right? And it really depends on who you are as a leader. But one of the mistakes that I see often is that they don't give ministry away enough. And that they hold on to things. It's like, okay, I have this job in ministry and I'm supposed to be telling you what to do and you don't have a whole lot of time. And so I'm just going to hold all the things and we're just going to tell you, like, here's the game that you're supposed to run, or here's what I want you to do in small groups. And, you know, and I think that kills creativity. I think that kills their excitement and passion about being with students. And it's more directive and more directed than it should be. That's one mistake I see. One huge mistake, and I think one of my friends who works for the Tournament of Roses here says it best, is that we don't thank leaders well enough. If you think you thank them well enough, he says, well, double it. Double the thanking of them, because yeah. just like teaching, youth ministry, if you've been in it for a while, you realize it's somewhat thankless, and it's really hard to know and understand how students are gathering their understanding of Jesus really well, unless you're in a small group with them and you're in those relationships that are deep, right? We have to be the ones that are going to be gracious. We have to be the ones who are going to be grateful. We have to be the ones that are going to cheer on our leaders in those moments. And so that type of response, that type of engagement is really important. And then I think the other part is we don't celebrate enough. We don't celebrate mm-hmm. the joys of ministry, because yeah. on a team, right, someone may be walking with a student who comes to know Jesus for the first time, and you know, we celebrate that. You know, it's like, I talked to that student, or I texted that leader, and you know, oh my gosh, that was great. But we don't tell that story, broadly speaking. It's like, look, God's doing stuff around us, so we need to tell right. stories to each other to encourage each other that God's still working around us. And our job really is to continue to throw seed regardless of what we see. So those are three
yeah.
things.
That yeah, that's so good. Particularly what stood out was kind of trusting, right? Like the leadership in other people. And I think something that I always think about is, you know, trust the Holy Spirit in other people. Mm. Trust the Holy Spirit in leaders. Trust that the Holy Spirit's there and working and, you know, doing the Holy Spirit's right. thing. And so, so good. Thank you so much, Chuck.
You're so welcome.
Like if you're talking to youth leaders and they're trying to recruit volunteers, what are qualities they should be looking for?
They better love kids, because otherwise, what are you doing? We are all here for the like serious Bible study time. But we're not doing the serious Bible study time. Don't just like stand off in a corner and like stare us down while we're being our weirdo adolescent selves, because that just makes us uncomfortable and it makes us feel like you don't like us. It shouldn't be like, okay, I'm going to teach you this Bible verse and then get out of here because I don't really actually care about you, you know? It should be like, we're going to have fun building a relationship with God and worshiping and getting to know each other and being friends and, you know? Like, even if you are a quiet person, like, you don't have to be crazy woo out there. Just don't be closed off. Like, you can be quiet and still engaging with people. As long as you're engaging with the students, good job. A+ gold sticker. And I don't just hand those out lightly.
Hey everyone, this is Erin.
And this is Kat.
Kat, I love hearing from our teens. It is truly the best. You know, when it comes to volunteers, it truly is like, don't be weird, guys. You know, interact with the kids, have fun with them. Don't just stand on the wall and stare at them from afar. Like, like, have fun with them. That's the point, right?
Right, exactly. Like, I think to not be weird, it takes you having to be a little weird in the sense that, you know, just being like allowing yourself to just, you know, let loose and yeah, have fun and interact. I think that it's such an important aspect of just any sort of engaging in any sort of ministry, right? Being fully present, fully there, fully intentional. And I think that that's actually a lot of what Chuck talks about. So it's perfect.
It is. It is so perfect. Oh my gosh. So Chuck, he is so great. First of all, hearing your interview with him was absolutely fantastic. And can I just say, it is so cool that he went to school for aviation. Like, he is a flying pastor. And that is so cool. I think all pilots should be pastors. I think that should be a new thing. I think I would feel a lot more safe if I knew my pilot was also a pastor. I'm just saying. You guys talked about the 5-to-1 ratio, which... Yeah. is so incredible to me. When I hear about the 5-to-1 ratio, I want to lovingly call this the village model. He said the constellation or safety net around students, like that is the 5-to-1 ratio. And just for them to know that they're cared for by multiple adults and not just one person should be responsible for their formation. I love that. I love it.
So good. Yeah, no, I completely agree. And something that I love that I talked a little bit about in the interview was having sort of this diversity of how God interacts, right? Mm. Of how God engages, of how God communicates. And you can see that when you have more, or at least the students can see that when they have more than one adult speaking their lives, because they're like, oh, hey, this is how this person engages in these spiritual disciplines, or this is how God speaks to, you know, these people. And I love what you said, the village model. That's so perfect. It's like this safety net, but it's also this creativity as far as how the divine interacts.
And that also brings me, Kat, into what you said actually about inviting students into your life. I think that's what's also really cool about the 5-to-1 ratio is you have a bunch of adults around you. So you may have people that are introverted, extroverted, that like to do things certain ways. And to be able to invite students into those spaces in your life, not just like, you know, not just like, oh, what do you like to do? Let's do what you want to do. No, let's get to know each other, you know, so they can find out even new things about themselves that maybe they didn't even know.
Yeah,
with my girls, even after they graduated and after we are quote unquote not officially in the youth group anymore, my girls are in college and they're so big and they're just thriving. And so I would love, and they're all over the place, right? They're in different states. So I love when they come home, especially around the holidays, and we all get together, we have dinner or lunch and we catch up. We talk about school. We talk about boys. We talk about all those things, whatever they want to talk about, just to catch up on their lives and how they're doing. Just say, hey, I'm here for you, you right. girls. Always, forever. I mean, they know they can always text me whenever they want. But even when they're all scattered across the U.S., mm-hmm. you know that they can come home and still have that home piece of me and their forever youth group leader, right?
So important. It's that consistency and just knowing that, yeah, you have a home with people. I think that that is beautiful and so important.
It is. So, it is.
Thanks for that, Erin. You know, I the more that I engage with you know, students or just people in general, the more that I realize that like God sort of exists in that, in those, you know, details that seem unimportant. Like, yeah, I need to go buy a pair of shoes or I need to go buy a new pair of socks. And then you right. go, it's in that weird, you know, maybe God speaks to you there or mm-hmm. maybe you're reminded of something or you have a conversation with someone. And so right. I feel like inviting people that we're ministering to or that we're discipling or whatever it is into those spaces, those seemingly mundane spaces can right. be, so beautiful because so much can happen there. And even mm-hmm. if nothing happens there, I think that that's also important, right? To just be in the nothingness with our students.
Right. So good, Kat.
Well, folks, if you found this episode helpful, please don't hesitate to share it with others.
Yes, yes, share it with others. We have created a free PDF download with some of the ideas from today's episode. You can find it on the show notes page for the episode at fulleryouthinstitute.org/podcast, as well as more information about volunteers.
Hi, friends. This is Rosalyn. Join us next week for a conversation with Scott Carmode about leadership and innovation.
If I listen with empathy to the people entrusted to my care, I will be transformed. Not they will be transformed. I will become a different leader because I listen to them.
Thanks to Kat Armas and Erin Samuel.
Hooray!
Awesome.
For hosting this week's episode. Teens Natalie, Dania, Edgar, William, and Charlotte for their thoughts on youth ministry volunteers.
Aw, thanks.
Chuck Hunt for being our guest.
Appreciate the time.
And last but not least, thank you for listening. And now, here's a peek behind the scenes.
I love that you let your girls ask you for homework help because my girls my girls are always like, we know not to ask Erin. I was just like, guys, I...
reading comprehension, the math, not so much.
So impressive.